click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.
Over the last 2 months, really, we've been having robust conversations analyzing the impact of the tariffs that have been imposed by the White House and U.S. President Donald Trump on more than 180 countries. South Africa is included on that list, and for many, it's been mentioned that the 30% tariff increase is one that will pinch and cause some negative ripple effects on certain sectors of our economy. There's been a plethora of various articles and analysis on this, and some confusion as to what the way going forward might be, despite a statement from the Department of Trade, Industry and Competition highlighting that the president remains committed to ongoing negotiations with the U.S. To help us unpack this further, now that the 1st of August has come and gone, and essentially, it's a new month, a new week, and new tariffs. Kaya Sithole, accountant, academic, and activist, joins us now on the show to help us add some analysis to this conversation. Jobe, always a pleasure to speak to you, sir. There's so much that we could dissect with you. But first things first, when it comes to the trade war, here we are, first week of August, and this is essentially where the tacky hits the tar. But give us some context. There's been a lot of analysis around how South Africa perhaps didn't necessarily leverage all opportunities favorably to make sure that we do get the best deal for our traders in our economy.
Good evening, and good evening to the listeners. So yes, there's obviously been a lot of views on what South Africa did or didn't do. My particular view is that probably South Africa couldn't have done anything. And South Africa's negotiating position was very different, is that while every other country could say, look, we are going to propose a framework of economic collaboration with the United States government, then it goes to the U.S. government, and the U.S. government to then say yes or no. South Africa was being asked to address two things. Firstly, there were the economic fundamentals, and of course, the DTIC put together a particular proposal that they thought could work. But what was not stated and what was not documented is the fact that South Africa was also being asked to address some unknowns, in the sense that the United States president and some senior members of the United States government have a particular view about South Africa's geopolitical positioning, about South Africa's policy orientation. And that is not something that has been cogently set out to say, cancel this, add this, and then we're going to talk. So it was always very difficult to imagine that a deal could be finalized when working with part of a canvas that was known and the part that was unknown, and that turned out to be so influential in the decision-making of Donald Trump.
I guess the president tried to put it diplomatically when he said they had little room to maneuver in terms of these negotiations. But that obviously tells us that there's a lot more here at stake. And many have raised concerns around, you know, our various trade partners, the EU, China, which certainly take the lead ahead of the US. Is there, I guess, an alternative way of balancing this dynamic? As many have been saying, we just need to find new markets. But how big are these markets? How sustainable are these alternatives? And what if there's some unforeseen consequences that could also impact us here?
Well, the idea that you simply just need to find new markets seems to underestimate the costs and the effort associated with accessing and penetrating new markets. So the first issue here is that South Africa's exports, 92.5% of them go everywhere except the United States. Now, in a market, you then have to ask the question of, well, do those markets that we already have access to have an increased appetite to absorb South African goods? Because if they are, then you simply just redirect whatever you're producing towards those markets. That's the first question. Mm-hmm. And the reality here is that those markets had this excess appetite. If those markets had a particular deficit, we would have capitalized on it, because it's not like we ourselves are running at full capacity. So it's difficult to imagine how people just simply say pivot and then you're going to get the answer. The second problem is that these particular businesses that are most affected are businesses that have been creating products, producing goods that are earmarked for a specific market. Yes. So if you have said you want to service the U.S. market, the U.S. consumer would have particular preferences, they would have particular ways in which they prefer things to be done. And if you then have to abandon that market and look for an alternative market, you may have to redo your entire supply chain, your entire production chain, in order to be able to adequately access those systems. People have got different preferences and people have got different rules. So it's not an overnight solution. And again, the big question is, if those markets were already waiting for African products, why would we not have been servicing them until now anyway?
I do see a number of headlines. Trump certainly, pressing his buttons when it comes to India, having favorable conversations with the EU. And some have said that this might raise questions around our favorable relationship with the EU, which remains a major key trading partner to South Africa. Are there unforeseen consequences here around the management of that relationship?
Well, the problem here is that even if consequences are predictable, all of these predictions fall flat when Donald Trump is the counterparty, because it isn't the linear logic that seems to underpin his decision making. So you would have said that, look, if you behave this way and if you do this thing, then you expect these particular consequences. But that's not what we played with here. So if he decides next week that he has a particular gripe with the EU, and then he simply says everyone who's friends with the EU must then be my enemy, that's a different problem that we cannot possibly anticipate. He's done the same thing with BRICS, where he's decided that since he doesn't like BRICS, anyone that moves on the same side as BRICS must then be punished. Yeah. So in this instance, again, it's difficult to imagine how anyone could possibly land around this thing when the fundamentals quite simply do not exist. So the best thing that you can do, or even the best idea that you can put together, are really subject to what the U.S. president feels like on that particular day, and what he then decides in this war of the week, because every week he finds new targets, he finds new issues to complain about, and unfortunately, whatever he says then has consequences for everyone who is currently a trade partner to the United States, including South Africa.
Leads to so much uncertainty, a leader who's led by emotion and erratic decisions. To close off with, Kaya, many have raised concerns about the agricultural sector, especially in the Western Cape, the automotive industries as well. I'm assuming you get this question from a lot of your colleagues, clients around the boardrooms. And I can imagine it's trying to prepare for a journey in the dark. But what should we anticipate, and how is business adequately preparing itself for further consequences of uncertainty?
Well, there's two answers currently. The first one is pragmatism, and the other one is patience. So when we talk pragmatism, it's simply the question of, well, for as long as we get told that there is a room for negotiation, then the responsibility of our negotiators, whether it's DIRCO or whether it's the DTIC, is to simply just submit whatever is being asked of them, is to simply then communicate and interacting with the United States bureaucrats on the basis of what we've been told that we must submit. So we do know that, unfortunately, up until now, we haven't had a substantive response to what we have sent through as a proposal. But that is something that, on a pragmatic level, you simply have to keep pursuing and hope that eventually there is a meeting of the minds, and hope that at some point in time, those that are responsible for looking at all these 185 different proposals, if it comes to that, will eventually get to the South African one. The problem with South Africa's proposal is that whilst this is a big number on our side, 7.5% of our exports is a big number, on the import side, it's probably one of the smallest numbers you can think of. I think some of the data says that we make up 0.25% of the US imports. So you can imagine that in the hierarchy of the deals that they're trying to evaluate, they're going to start with the ones that have the greatest impact on the consumer, and that's obviously where the biggest volumes are. And South Africa is nowhere close to the top of that list. The second one is a patience game, because it may well turn out that this is all a three-year aberration, where clearly at the White House they have someone who has a very, very different take on what the world look like, and is trying to reshape in his own image. And it may well turn out that two things happen. Firstly, the United States market eventually realizes that in spite of what Donald Trump has been saying, it will be the U.S. consumers that pay the price of these tariffs. And if there is enough of a groundswell against this tariff movement, then that will trigger a different reaction. Alternatively, we then have to hope that at the end of his term, there will indeed be a new administration that is at least more observant or more vigilant about how trade works and what the implications are. And that is where the patience game comes in. So at the end of that period, then we'll know that actually this is how you negotiate, this is how you engage with this country going forward. So that's really what we can do at this point.
Patience and pragmatism. Thank you so much for your time as always, Kaya. Really appreciate it, Job.
All right.
Current academic and activist giving us his analysis and perspective around the ever-evolving conversation around Trump's tariffs and trade war.
Having traveled outside of our borders, I think one thing that I appreciate about us South Africans is open-minded, that open mindset about doing business. And the fact that, you know, our country allows us to be very flexible and to apply our creativity, and to a point where, you know, somebody would be thinking of making life very simple from the rich to even the poor. And they will come up with very creative ideas to make life easy for other people. And, you know, you find that in other countries, it's not that easy to have that flexibility that we have.
Kaya Biz with Gugule Tumfupi, Monday to Thursday, 6 to 8 p.m. on Kaya 959.
Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.